Invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. We're going to depart from our study here on the church at Thessalonica and that first epistle to that church. I'm going to give you some of what the Lord was I'm preaching in on the radio broadcast, and just the world in which we live, the day in which we live, and as we go on visitation or you talk to folks that are in your lives about the Lord, about their need of salvation. You know, you hardly can't ever find anybody that's not saved. There's few anymore that are not saved. Many claim religion. You know, they claim a faith in Christ. That, you know, we the gospel and the message that we preach is that sinners need to repent of their sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And people say, well, I've done that. Well, here in John chapter 8, the Lord is dealing with a group of folks, and I find this passage interesting in the way that it is, but the Lord's provided, I believe, for this reason, that we might understand, and even amongst some of us here in the church, we've talked at different times, how do you deal with people, you know, that say they're saved, but they just don't have anything to back it up in their lives? Our works don't save us, but our works do manifest salvation. Okay, I mean, that's it. Brother Stephen mentioned this morning about, in his Sunday school lesson, about the perseverance of the saints. All the saints will persevere. And those that persevere to the end are the saints of God. Okay, so I mean, it's that way. Because the Scripture bears out, and we believe and teach, that once a person is saved, once they've been redeemed, once they've been illuminated, enlightened, saved by the Lord, they're saved eternally. It's done. You know, it's done. They've been, as the Lord said to Nicodemus, they've been born again. And so, how is it, what's the Scripture say about this? And I think in this passage we can see how that is. The Lord goes to the Mount of Olives, just to catch up with context here, because we're going to go down to the middle of the chapter or a little bit beyond. And he's teaching in the temple. The woman taken in adultery is brought. They're talking to the Lord about what He's going to do, what He recommends. He said the law of Moses says this and that and the other about this woman being taken in adultery. Remember, the Lord's writing on the ground. I don't know for sure, but I think what He's probably writing is where it talks about it in the law. Now that makes sense to me. He may be writing something else. He doesn't ask. He doesn't seem like he's even listening to him. And he's scribbling there, writing there on the ground, in the dust, seemingly. And then he says to him, "You that are without sin, you cast the first stone." And it's not talking about you that are perfect and have no sin in your life cast the first stone. But what he's talking about is the incident. This whole issue, this whole point that you've brought up here. A woman taken in adultery, you that are handling this thing right, you take up the first stone and you throw it at her. Well, they go out from the oldest to the youngest, because the law says anybody taken in adultery, the man and the woman is to be put to death. That's what the law says. But they left their daddy or their brother or their cousin or their uncle or their neighbor or their friend. They left him back there. They knew when be able to catch her, as they said, in the very act, right? Quote unquote, in the very act. But they left, I was going to say Bubba. Man, they left him back there, didn't they? They didn't bring him, but they were willing to sacrifice her, weren't they? And so the Lord deals with them about that. The Lord saves that woman. I believe He does. He says, and He acknowledges the fact of her sin. Verse 11, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. So he said, you have been sinning, but go and sin no more. She says, he says, where are your accusers? And she says, no man, Lord. He said, well, I don't either, go and sin no more. I believe the Lord saves her. And then he talks about being the light of the world. And he says, he that followeth me, verse number 12, won't walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life within, right? The Spirit of God living within. They talk to the Lord about His record, the testimony. He says, they say to Him, if you just back up what you're doing, then that's not enough. You're a liar. He says, no. He says, I'm no liar like you are a liar. And He's going to deal with them a little bit about that later on. But He said, there's two that bear testimony of my ministry, me and the Father. And the ability for the Lord to work miracles like He does as a man is a manifestation of the power of God upon Him. He's God. And so that he says, I've got two witnesses, just like the law says. I've got two witnesses, myself and the Father. And so by him making himself equal with God, that gets them all stirred up. Now look here in verse number 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. He's on a time frame that though hand joining hand cannot be changed. He's on a time frame indeed. And so then he says, he talks about going his way and they'll look for him. They can't find him. I think that's when he's ascended, right? They won't find him in the grave. And they won't find him out in Jerusalem. But then they'll hear word that he's alive from his disciples. And they won't, after the Lord's risen from the dead, they won't be able to lay hands on him again. And so I think he's speaking prophetically about that. And then he says here, he's been dropping this on them about him being the I am. Verse 23, he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Okay? I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, right? He's in italics. If ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. That's all you've got. If you don't receive me, your sins is your end. That's it. They're getting rough with him. He's getting very plain with them. And so, they ask him like they did John, who are you? Verse 25. And then he's got things to say, things to judge, and when he does judge, it'll be true. Okay, and he's just telling what the Father's given to him. And it says in verse 27, they don't understand that he spake of them and of the Father. Because, see, the Father has sent the Son. Jesus is not a freelancer. Jesus as a man is not a freelancer. He is obeying the Father. And that's a testimony to us. We need to obey. And so then he talks about when he's lifted up, they'll know that it's him. And he's not left alone by the Father. And then we pick it up here in verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, with perseverance of the saints, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So there's many that believes. That's what it says. Now, I meant to look that word up to see if it's the word for faith, pistis, the Greek word. And I believe that it is. I believe it's the same word. It says there that they believed. Now remember, in the parable of the four types of ground, there's that ground on the roadway, on the hard pack, that the seed goes there and the bird comes and snatches it away, just like Satan snatches it out of people's hearts before they can even hear it or believe it. That's the Lord's parable. Then there's the stony ground. Seed gets over in that stony ground, maybe gets a little pocket of dirt, grows up a little bit, got a little bit of root there, but then can't endure, and it dries up and blows away. Then there's that seed that goes over here in the thorny ground. And what happens with it? Just like thorns choke out good growth, because isn't it weird that thorns grow faster than good stuff? But that's the curse, isn't it? And before that can grow up and do anything, it gets choked out by the cares of life and the affairs of life in the world. But then the good ground bears fruit, doesn't it? Some 30. Some 60, some 100, but it bears fruit. Okay? And so as he spake these words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus, those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. A disciple of the Lord will continue in his word. Okay? You think about the word. Who is the word? Jesus Christ. What's it say in Romans chapter 10? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know, not only is that so with faith unto salvation, but it also has to do with faith to service too, right? If you don't believe what God says in his word, you and I that are children of the Lord, if we don't believe what he says in his word, we won't serve him. Right? Yeah, I mean, how the life starts, what's it say in Ephesians? If you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, right? Same thing. And these young ladies, they give testimony that the Lord saved them, and they're joining the church, and by virtue of baptism such as that, I tell them, and I say to all, as you have received Christ, walk in Christ. It's what the Bible says. We are saved by faith, by grace through faith, repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we walk. John writes in 1 John, I write unto you that believe that you might know you have eternal life and that you might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the name of Him, on Him. But right, it's that way. The Lord says, if you're my disciple, you'll continue in my word. And then ye shall know the truth, verse 32, and the truth shall make you free. So a disciple of the Lord will continue in His word. Huh? That word that Hebrews 4 talks about, that's sharp and quick and powerful than any two-edged sword. You don't need me to try to convict you, although the Lord's given me as your pastor, and I try to preach good things to you and feed you well. But I tell you what you need, what each one of us need as children before the Lord is the Word of God convicting us about stuff. Because if we get conviction by the Lord, it won't matter if I live or die as your pastor. You'll be convicted. Yeah. That's what you need. That's what I need. We need to be convicted of the Lord. He says, by continuing in my word, if you're my disciple and you continue in my word, by knowing my word, you'll know the truth, and that the truth sets free, doesn't it? Seeing the big picture that God sees, is that not liberating? I haven't had it hard in my life. In this physical life, I've not had it hard. There's been rough spots in the road and different things like that, but I've not had it hard like some people have had it hard. But you know what? No matter what our case is, knowing the eternity that awaits us, in 1 Thessalonians, we're at the part to look at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, isn't that a great subject? We look forward to that. This life will be just a fleeting memory when we're with our Lord. You know, doesn't that set you free? Doesn't that give you hope? Doesn't that give you hope that you sprain your ankle, but one day there will be no spraining ankles, brother? One day. And it's not too far away. No matter what your age is, it's not that far away. If you're saved, you know, it's not that far away. Even if this life lasts 80 years. 90 years is not that far away. And so he says this. They answered, said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Look how they grabbed a hold of the thing. It's this way when we talk to folks. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? The Lord tells them the truth, and they're immediately offended. We're Abraham's seed. We've never not been free. Well, that's a lie. They forgot about the captivity, didn't they? They forgot about the Romans that are right there in their front doorstep right now. They don't run their own government. Rome runs their government. Or they can run it to the extent that Rome is pleased. Jump just like a chicken on a June bug. What do you mean we're not free? They didn't even listen to the other stuff, did they? It says there they believed. Right? Isn't that what it said? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He's going to deal with their problem, go straight to it. He says, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand all of what that verse is talking about. I do think it has a certainly application that when the Lord comes and abides in the house, in the soul, He's there forever. And there's going to be fruit manifested. There's going to be persevering that's going to take place. There could be backsliding, but never a justification for it. He says, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And it says here, verily, verily, that's truly, truly. When you see the words verily, verily, it's very, very important information. You cannot do without it. Okay? There's always that thing. You can underline that. You can mark that down, circle it. When the Lord says, verily, verily, it's essential information. Well, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that the Lord in Corinth had saved fornicators, adulterers, thieves, extortioners, effeminate, And he says there, such were some of you. Key word, were. Were. Not anymore. Were. But whoever is the servant of, whoever commit a sin is the servant of sin. The person that does not have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior does nothing but sin. The child of God who has the new man never sins. Now the old man will sin, but he needs to be beat down, mortified, pinned down. Amen? And then there's illumination and enlightenment to where the child of God can see what is sin and what is obedience to the Lord or not sin. As the children of God, indeed, we've got a choice before us to serve and obey the Lord. Before, we had no hope of doing anything well. But with the Spirit of God living in us, Peter tells us we're equipped. And then we've got other blessings with prayer and petitioning before the Lord. Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. He said, one that's a servant for sin of sin will not live forever, but the Son abides forever. Don't we have eternal life? If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But it's going to be manifested by you continuing in my word. And by continuing my word, you'll know the truth. And by knowing the truth, you'll be set free. Because when Jesus sets free, he sets free for real. It's free, right? Listen to what he says here. I know that you are Abraham's seed. Can you see? I kind of see him frowning up his forehead. I know who you descend from. That is not even an issue to this discussion. I know you're Abraham's seed. But ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. He said, there's the sin. You're looking to put me to death. He said, they believe. The scripture says they believed. Well, they believed until they got challenged with the word. And by and by, because of the word, it seems like to me they were offended. Amen. The child of God, any of them there that would be saved, because it does say that many believed, and then he spoke to the Jews that believed on him. Any that were there that believed unto salvation, that were saved, they in every way would agree with the Lord. They would agree. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But not these. They seek to quarrel with the Lord. The Son, therefore, shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. I know, verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you, and you're the servant of sin. I speak that which I have seen of my Father, verse 38, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Who's that? That's Satan, isn't it? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can make that call. Because he knows his sheep, doesn't he? But here, the way it is with us is what it says over here. Let's read this quickly in Ephesians chapter 2. Here's, and this is how the apostle wrote it, the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows who are his. He knows hearts and souls. You and I, here's the way we can word it, okay, as the apostle did. Let's read here, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, indeed. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. We were right there in the course of the world. According to the prince and power of the air, we walked right along with the way Satan walked, right? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Was not Mary Magdalene possessed of devils? She was, but she was one of the Lord's. And she was saved, healed of that and saved from that. So she appeared indeed and was full taken in to the way and work of Satan till Jesus showed up and rescued her from that. You see what I'm saying? The Lord would know and did know that she was not a child of the devil. Okay? I know this can be prickly. Certainly be a prickly subject. But the Lord knew that, even though it appeared that we who are saved, it appeared that we were. And that's what the apostle's writing here, and the Lord's given us here. He said, according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, we were all, among whom also we all had our conversation. We were right in there parallel with them, behaving just as bad as those that are not the Lord's people, not the Lord's elect, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, we can say, well, sure are behaving like they're wicked and sinful and behaving like the children of Satan. But we don't know who the children of Satan are, or who the sheep of the Lord are. We know who the sheep and the goats are, do we? We don't know. So we preach to all men. But the Lord, with this crowd here in John 8, He knew. Because He said, you're doing the works of your Father. I'm doing the works of my Father, and you're doing the works of your Father. The Lord knows. He knows the beginning from the end. And the thing is, it said that they believed. He says here, verse 38 of John 8, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. They answered and said unto him, they jump on it again, don't they? Abraham is our father, Jesus said unto them. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What's that? Faith. Verse 40 of John 8. But now you seek to kill me, that you are the servant of sin. Being the servant of sin, the Lord knows you that are the children of the devil, a man that hath told you the truth. But now you seek to kill me, verse 40, a man that hath told you the truth. There it is, the truth, the word. And what's it doing? Is it drawing them near? No, it's pushing away. By and by, indeed, they are offended because of the word. Are you offended because of the word? Look out. We who claim the name of Christ, we sure don't need to be offended at the word. We need to receive the word. We who are name the name of Christ, those who are the Lord's, will receive the word. I'm not saying you won't have a rough edge here and a problem there, and the Lord have to work on us with some things. But we won't just ball up to it and block it and say never, never, never. If you're a child of God, it's His word that He sent to us that we need to receive. Perseverance. He said, a man that told you the truth, verse 40, which you have heard, which I have heard from God, this did not Abraham. Abraham believed, and it's counted unto him for righteousness, wasn't it? You do the deeds of your father. There's that thing. You do the deeds of your father. Verse 41, then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So they step it up. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Remember, the Spirit of God moved upon Mary and conceived within her that holy thing that would be called the Son of God. He proceeded forth from God. And he said, if you knew the Father, you would receive me. You would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Why can't you understand what I'm saying to you? Even because you cannot hear my word. Because the word of God just goes, dribbles off the side of the head. It has no place, no lodging. No place to grow. No place to be received. Continue my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. You are of your father the devil. He makes three references here about their father. You are of your father the devil. We can't say that about anybody, but the Lord can. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Ah, what did he say that they were looking to do? Kill him. See that? He said, you're not following. You claim Abraham, but you got nothing to do with Abraham because what you want to do is what Satan would do. Kill me. You're following after him. You're of your father the devil, and the lust, the desire of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Is there not a sense that Satan murdered mankind by bringing sin into the world? And listen to what it says here. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. None. Zero. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He lied to Eve, didn't he? Outright. Lied. Murderer. And because I tell you the truth, verse 45, ye believe me not. They go from believing. The Lord Jesus Christ goes from hero to zero, and about like that, when he just brings out some word. How do you react to the word? We claim the name of Christ, and the word comes out, and we say, nah, I don't want that. Look out. We need to receive it. What the Lord says. What the Lord says is life. And we are to persevere. He says here in verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Well, which one of you can say that I'm doing wrong? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. There it is again. Words in verse 47, word in verse 43, and word not having a place in them in verse number 37. Then answered the Jews, verse 48, and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? Man, this thing is just getting escalated, isn't it? I mean, they're the Lord is pushing them with the word, and they're getting crowded, and they're just getting beside themselves, if you will. You're a Samaritan. Aren't we saying right that you're a Samaritan and you've got a devil? Is that not a railing accusation against our Lord and Savior? A railing accusation to say that the Lord has a devil within him? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. Why, he's obeying. And ye do dishonor me. Look out. Don't listen to the word of God. We dishonor him. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. That's the Father. Jesus didn't come for his own glory, although the Father is going to bestow upon him glory. Verily, verily, there's essential information. I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. His word. Believing. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. They just escalated even more. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? He said, well, they've died. What are you talking about, keeping your words and never see death? They died. Are you greater than them? Well, what do you make of yourself? Jesus answered, verse 54, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. You claim him. He's my Father. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. When the Lord made the promise about Abraham's seed, speaking of Christ, right, tells us that in Galatians, Abraham rejoiced in that and praised God in it. He said, you reject me, the Word, my Word, the Word of God, the testimony of Abraham, and God the Father. You reject it all. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Here's the point, and more essential information. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's the point. He is God. He is the Savior. He is the Word. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Perseverance. Not just claiming Jesus Christ and then go on our merry same old way, but listening to what he says. Because listen, what he says is a life modifier, isn't it? Isn't it a change of direction from the way of the world and self to the way, the narrow way of Christ? Listen to what he goes from hero to zero. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. claim the name of Christ? Follow Him in His Word. When the Word of God comes unto us and it contradicts this old flesh and this old mind and the way of the world, so be it. May God help us to follow Him in it. Amen. May we not deny the Lord and what He said, and may we hear Him and believe Him. All right. Just if you have any questions about that, ask. I'll be glad to talk to you about it. May the Lord help us. May we as the Lord's people make our calling and election sure. That's what that's all about. And we claim the name of Christ, we be found in Christ indeed. Trust in Him, hear in Him, believe in Him, and not be as these that were on that other kind of ground. And they were with joy and anon received it, but then when the Word came along, bucked up against it.